Welcome to the Connect to Marriage podcast. I'm June and I'm your host for this episode. In each episode of the Connect to podcast, we'll be tackling questions that couples ask about marriage, communication and conflict, and so much more. We hope you keep tuning in to learn with us as you grow closer, deeper and stronger in your marriage. If you are new to us, do subscribe to our Connect to podcast on your podcast platform. And we believe you'll discover interesting topics and helpful conversations. The declining fertility rate in Singapore has got everyone jumping on the bandwagon to analyze and to come back with their own opinions on what's keeping our couples from marrying and having babies. There is a messy mix of expectations, our values, societal standards, and also our own family of origin stories. Today is my privilege to have Ethan and Naomi returning to share with us more insights on the topic of starting a family in Singapore. Welcome back to the Connect 2 podcast, Ethan and Naomi. Let's jump straight in, okay? So what broader societal or cultural changes do you think are shaping why people are having fewer kids today?
There's a great sense of responsibility that comes with bringing up a child and bringing up a child well. So when people think of having a child, it's like the financial side of things. It's also that emotional responsibility. And as a mental health counselor, when I work with parents, one of the main struggle really is, can I bring up my child to be a responsible human being as well that creates value for the society, right? And with the very limited time that dual income parents tend to have after ending their work day, they return back to home. And then there's just this rush of like being very operational to do all the night routines. There is very little connect time to really just keep up with their child's development, right? And weekends are just then filled with a lot more of like keeping up with enrichment and trying to make sure that my child keeps up again with another pace of like academic work and life. So there's an overwhelming sense of like stress as well, even as a parent.
Feels like keeping up is like the main thing.
Yeah, it's a great, I think Singapore just functions at a pace whereby we feel like we're either missing out on something if we don't commit to something, or we just have to be projecting ahead, planning ahead, which schools to be getting into. So people have been asking us already, even though Emma is 2 years plus, right? Which school are you planning to? Are you going to sell your house now to get into the right schools? All these questions leave us feeling like, we haven't really thought about it. Are we like really behind? Are we going to be put at a disadvantage for Emma because we're a bit more, I don't know what you call that, laid back?
Ethan, share with us your thoughts as a father.
I think we come in a very transactional society, and often we do look at every decision as what's the upside and what is the risk. So to me, I feel that as parents, people don't actually enjoy, or rather they don't know how to enjoy being parents until they've become one. And some never do. Some they have kids and they still are in a state whereby I don't think I enjoy being a parent. And I guess people just don't want to put themselves in that position of not knowing what's to come and at risk. With society and moving on towards how fast-paced it is and expectations of us being, you know, a filial son or daughter or a good employee or a good boss, everything just piles up, and being a parent, forming a family nucleus just becomes an afterthought. It's something that you can choose to delay, and it's something that you can choose to put aside and put off. So, you know, with all these pressures, people don't exactly really think about wanting to have children. Whereas if you look at some other countries, maybe they're a bit slower paced, they give a lot of benefits and family time. You know, perhaps if you're brought up in an environment whereby you do enjoy that family time and connection with your parents or siblings, I think maybe things might be a bit different there. Yeah, So this is my perspective.
Yeah, I mean, even just listening to the both of you, it brings back this memory of the 5 C's, right? Which was often talked about when we were younger, when I was younger at least. You know, the credit card, the condo, the cash, and I can't remember what else.
Yeah, car.
The car. But none of them were children.
Yeah, right.
And then now we are at the point where we have to ask ourselves this rather existential question, right? Like, if we don't have kids, what's going to happen to Singapore? But then Do you expect everybody to be altruistic and to think about Singapore when we have to think about ourselves as well? You know, all the practical constraints that you mentioned. And I like what you said about transactional. And the mere fact of parenting and parenthood is that it's relational, right? And the joy comes from there. So what should we do then? Or our parents
I think that's another layer of like, because we're all working parents and we're a bit of a sandwich generation, right? So we have to care for elderly parents and then meet the needs of our young people. So really this creates a lot of that pressure. But in the organization setting where we work in, it really depends on whether your culture of your organization allows for a more friendlier kind of family building environment, right? So if there is flexible working arrangement for you to care for young children that fall sick a lot, I think that helps a lot. And now with the different leave system that we have after giving birth, I think the extension of that also does help. But it's a long journey, right? Like all the way up to 6 years old with young children, they do need a different level of attention and medical needs, etc. So organizational culture also plays a difference, I feel, whether there is a more pro-family kind of like culture.
So maybe slowing down and also encouraging more of such family-friendly policies and practices in more workplaces, right? I'm hearing that these are key. What other areas do you think parents or aspiring parents really need to hear more of to gain that courage or even that inspiration to take that step and leap of faith?
The early years of marriage are filled with unique challenges and opportunities for growth. What happens after saying, I do? At the Connect to Just Married workshop, you will gain practical tools to work through differences and conflicts and learn ways to keep the romance alive. If you have been married for 5 years or less, this workshop is for you. Get more information at www.family.org.sg/C2JustMarried.
Yeah, I think beyond the financial side of things, it's really being able to emotionally connect to a bigger kind of like community, right? Or kampong, right? Like knowing that our struggles are kind of normalized and a bit more uniform. So when we kind of started Kindred Haven, we went into building communities because we recognized that parents really needed that space to share about common struggles and then realize that, oh, you know, you're not the only parent that is struggling with anger management. You're not the only one that is having issues with mom's guilt, right? Mm-hmm. Like leaving my child, you know, in the childcare while I go to work. So when such conversations begin and we realize that we're not alone, I think the emotional side of things is a bit more supported, right? The social structure probably in Singapore needs to change to make way for looking at parents' mental health, parents' emotional regulation. Nobody teaches us how to be good parents. And so that pressure of being like good enough parents is quite stressful, right? Like, is it that I send my kids to berries and that's good, right? Or like, is it that I spend every weekend bringing them to this place to play, etc.? Is that good enough? Yeah, what is good enough parent. So I think it's just forming a social network or social layer of like safety net, right, where parents are able to connect and journey together. I feel that makes a huge difference.
I think that's really important. It kind of reminds me of, you know, how I got connected with a couple of moms through blogging in the early days of the 2010s, right? Yeah, and that was my kind of source of community, right? When things were feeling overwhelming and I was just feeling so alone as a young mom. What about Ethan from a perspective of a father, right? What are some things that might help support other would-be fathers out there?
I think on a policy level, it's very complicated. I have no area of expertise over there, but I do feel that there are a lot of cultural barriers and norms that we need to dispel. And these norms can, we were just chatting over it in the car on our way here just now. Like some of this can be really sensitive because like policy tries to fix it by providing grants, subsidies and all that. You cannot satisfy everybody. One of them is like, I recall there was a time whereby parental leave was extended or it could be transferred, something like that. But then we do have relatives as well. Hearing them, they a bit disgruntled from it because they say, oh, then parents, they can have more break time and then who is the one going to work and be productive? So I guess not everyone is aligned in that sense. And even within the parents' sphere, of how things are being fixed. I mean, we definitely are so appreciative of the support that we can get. Whatever that we can get, please, yeah, just give it to us. But I do feel that it does need a closer look because some of them, for example, if I recall, is the working mom subsidy. But I feel that it's quite tough on moms as well. Perhaps a working parents subsidy might make more sense. I think that on a policy level, some things could be optimized further. Mm. You know, amongst our whole outlook of what having our own family unit is about has to also be a more relational one, as mentioned in our previous podcast. Yes. So people get into the next life stage just because they're just flowing along. You know, that's what is expected, to get a BTO, to build your asset equity, to build your property portfolio. You know, as a realtor, I have so many people coming to me and already planning their life and saying that, oh, you know, if I get married, you know, I can use two names and this and that. So everything is very transactional in that sense. I wish things would be a little bit different.
I think when you mentioned the working mom subsidy, that's in relation to like applying for childcare, right?
Mm. Yeah.
I guess I'm hearing the policy level. Yes, whatever help that can be rendered to parents is much appreciated, right? But there are also nuances, like, for example, you mentioned that other people might be disgruntled or might wonder why parents need this kind of like special protection in that sense. But as a society, what are we saying we value? What are we truly supporting with our policies? What I'm hearing is that there needs to be more alignment and maybe even more conversations, right? To just understand the different feelings, the different experiences on the ground, right? Maybe it's not just parents who are struggling and really needing that support. Maybe it's also caregivers who with elderly and sick parents, right? Yeah, then what can be so-called extended to them as well? So as a whole of society, maybe we just need more conversations and more common language in that sense to facilitate such change. If that's something that we truly value as a nation.
I think there is that whole journey to conception as well that people do struggle with, where marriages are taking place at a later age, and that really does affect fertility. Maybe couples really are trying to have, but they can't, and they go through that whole struggle, and then they decided that it's okay, you know, we'll just be satisfied with each other. And so whether it's at a subsidies level, I think, you know, there are a lot of talks around how fertility subsidies or procedures need to be taken a closer look at as well to support that journey towards conception.
That's a good point. Yeah. Thanks for raising that, Naomi. For each podcast, we address a frequently asked question. So today's question comes from a husband. He says, we recently had our first child and my wife has her hands full, you know, from breastfeeding to stocking up on diapers to building a reasonable routine. I feel left out and quite handicapped to help. What can I do?
I think this is a very normal experience that guys have, you know, like being caught up with the operational side of thing and trying to support their wife. And it's a very trying period, right? Like where you feel maybe a bit of like, I don't know what I can do. And then my wife is emotionally very charged. So it's interesting because when we had Emma, we were in a cell group where we had three other couples who had children, very young children, at the same time, one after another. So we had one group chat with the wives and then one group chat with the husbands, right? And then there's nothing going on in the husband's group chat. Nobody's talking. And then the wives were all chatting. Oh, kind of like, how's your breastfeeding, blah, blah, blah. You know, you talk about everything under the world, the diaper brand, blah, 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 and then nothing. And then one day, a message popped up by one of the fathers who were asking, can I just check, is this happening? happening to your wife as well. And he was describing a lot more like, oh, my wife is being triggered by little things about how I put the child to sleep, I'm not putting it the right way, blah, blah, blah. And then it started a whole range of, oh yeah, I've been facing the same, you know, yeah, like, I'm like treading on like a mine, you know, like
my feel,
yeah. And that started the conversation going there. So I think men tend to cope very differently in some ways, but for this father, you got any encouragement on what he can do to support the wife?
I resonate a lot with what the listener shared, because oftentimes I'm like the hands and legs, right? I mean, as willing as we are, so when things like that happen, we understand wives, they're already handling a lot physically, mentally, they're also planning. And I mean, husbands, for a lack of better way to describe it, we are a little bit more passive, because I guess maybe hormonally we are not as charged. You know, we don't have that natural spike after postpartum. We don't feel as protective with every little cry. But you know, we're happy and willing to help. Like, just tell us what you need to do, we'll do it. But that's not the case, you know, because psychologically the wives will be like, why can't you initiate it? Like, why must I always be the one having the mental load to plan for all these things? Can't you see that these are running out? So it's very...
So one good question that he has learned to ask me is, how can I support you? What do you need in this moment? Do you need me to tend to the baby for 5 minutes while you take a shower? Do you need me to do this for you? And that really greatly helped.
Unfortunately, sometimes we gotta learn it the hard way, because you know, there are times whereby I come home, Naomi wants to spend time with Emma and she says, I'll put her to sleep. And I say, are you sure you put her to sleep? You know, you'll be in a bad mood because you didn't take your bath and all that, and this happened before, right? I say, yes, I'm sure.
Moms are very conflicting because we want to do something and then after that we feel very like disgruntled, like, why am I the one having to do it all the time, right? So I think for moms, we also need to learn how to let go and let our husband do their own thing, because they will be able to put the baby to sleep somehow. You know, you just need to close your eyes and like let him do his thing. I think there's a concept called like maternal gatekeeping, right? Where we kind of like feel like we know the best for the child, but that prevents our husbands from getting involved as well. And sometimes we just need to let go as well.
Totally agree. Yeah. And this really brings me back to those early baby caring days. So to our listener, you're not alone, right? Like, everybody doing this podcast can actually relate to you. So those are great tips, both for mommy as well as daddy. So thank you so much, Naomi. Thank you so much, Ethan, for sharing all those insights on, you know, TFR and how we might potentially make a change, right? Cause a more positive feeling surrounding parenthood. Now, if you were talking to a listener who might be on the fence or maybe even more negative towards, you know, having kids, what might you say to this listener? Last words.
So at Kindred Haven, where we started off really wanting to build the mental health of parents, my encouragement is really that there is support if you reach out, whether you're going through grief and loss when in the conception journey, whether you're going through parenting struggles, or whether you just need to find a community where you could resonate with other people and feel a bit more not alone in this whole journey. So like, reach out and open up at times if you're ready to. There is help to support you as a parent.
Thank you, Naomi. Ethan?
As much as I would like to encourage for people to have a more positive outlook on parenting, I think it's not for me to decide whether they should be parents or not, because it's a very personal decision and the responsibility is huge. So in that regard, I would say that stay true with what you believe is best for your family and best for your, you know, after discussion with your spouse. But with regards to, you know, a negative perception, I think there's a whole world of good things that can come about. And this can't really be explained or shared through until you see how kids are being brought up and how much of a change we need to have in terms of society. Mm. Yeah, some people, of course, with every valid reason, they prefer not to have kids because they feel that it's a more responsible thing for them to not have kids, you know, and I fully respect that. Then on the other hand, I feel that if you are on the fence, I think it doesn't hurt to talk to more people, to connect with more people, you know, and it doesn't need to come in the form of like, oh, can I just understand more before I make this decision to have kids, but more of just it's an opportunity to learn and connect with different people in different walks of life as well. I think we are transiting into such a whole new world in terms of our career, in terms of our value system. And as a parent, I can only say that we've truly, truly enjoyed that process. And we hope that, you know, people will come to the same space, because it's the past. If we think about how the past 2-3 years have been from where we were without kids, we've grown so much in terms of maturity and in terms of our own capability to the capacity to have in terms of our resources and also to give out more than what we can endure. I think that's just something that
words can't describe fully, right? What the experience is like.
Truly is,
So indeed, find a community and also have that openness to talk to people to find out more, right? Because sometimes we don't know what we don't know. Until we talk to someone. So thank you so much, Ethan and Naomi, for being here and for sharing with us your thoughts on raising and supporting TFR. In each podcast, we end off with a couple challenge for couples to do. So if you're listening to this episode with your spouse, here is your challenge. Find a quiet environment, put away all your distractions, and spend the next 10 minutes sharing, how can I be a source of help or community for a new parent around me? So we hope you've enjoyed today's episode. As always, do share this podcast with a friend who might benefit from it. Thank you so much for tuning in, and remember to connect with your spouse today.